Well, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 56, verse 7. We're going to just take just a few moments to go back over what we've been going through. This is so important for you to get this. If you don't get this, you're going to be like people have been. You know, the teaching that we do around here is bit by bit, or the Scripture says it's line upon line and precept upon precept. When you receive teaching, you can get excited about things or you can not get excited about it. I don't know about you, but you know, if I was a bricklayer, I don't think I would probably be too excited laying every brick. But I'll tell you what, I'd get excited when I had a wall done, wouldn't you? I'd get excited seeing a wall. And sometimes, I'm saying that to say this, sometimes the teaching that we give may come in such fundamental and repetitive ways that you're going to say, well, you know, I kind of know that. Well, don't ever stop there, because that's when revelation can break through. And when revelation breaks through, things will change. Amen? And what we're talking about in the area of prayer, how many of you have ever heard a series on prayer? You know, if you haven't, I don't know where you've been. I guess you live in a cave. Because everybody's heard a series on prayer, right? Well, yeah, we live up here. It's almost like a cave. But we've done series on prayer. In fact, years ago, I spent months teaching on prayer. And boy, I marvel at how much I've learned since then. But you know what else I marvel about? How much I've got to learn yet about prayer. Prayer is, it is a lifeline. It is an amazing thing. It's a weapon. But it's more than that. And sometimes we just get off on the other things that it does instead of what it really is. And because of that, how many of you know the least attended meetings in the church world? Prayer meetings. The absolute least. If you want to make sure you have people stay away in bunches, announce a prayer meeting. People don't like prayer. And I've had people be honest enough with me to tell me, I just don't like a prayer meeting. I just don't like it. And it is only just a part of our prayer life, but it's something that we should have. And on Wednesday nights, Jerry and Henrietta and I have been coming 1 hour before our study, and we start at 6 o'clock, and we're praying. Just for 45 minutes is what it really turns out to be, but we're just here to pray. We're just here to pray. Last week, somebody called me and said they needed 10 CDs. Daniel did. He needed 10 of his CDs sent to him, so I had to copy those, and I did it while I prayed. But that won't be my normal way of doing things. But I had to express them out the next day, so there wasn't any choice. I had to get them done. But we're coming and doing that. Well, I'm saying that to tell you that's an opportunity. And Henrietta and I were talking as we walked around the lake yesterday. There's times that you'd like to have a prayer meeting. If you'd like to have a regular prayer time, you let us know when it would be. And we'll come here. We'll come and we'll meet at that time. And we'll pray at that time. We'll make sure that that's a time. Because that's what we're here for, is to pray. But having said that, let me tell you that one of the reasons that prayer meetings are so poorly attended is because of what we've gotten into. We've gotten into things that Jesus told us not to get into. We've gotten into things, in fact, we'll deal with that a lot more today, but we've gotten into things that He actually told us would kill prayer. And don't be like that, He said. And people know, if you use a prayer list, you know that sometimes you've taken your prayer list and you've read down it and it's been nothing more than a Christian Protestant rosary. You were just reciting names. And I want to tell you that that's not enough just to say bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so and bless so-and-so. That's the way I used to finish my prayers at night. And bless mommy and daddy. Bless my grand and granddad. Bless my sisters and brothers. Well, you know, there's some teaching to that. But you know what? You can very quickly forget what you're saying when you do that kind of thing, can't you? You've got it into rote memory. And so the same thing with prayer chains. You know, I would like to have the prayer line here at the church be more active. We have not even on that had great response when we said who would like to call in and check on the prayer requests. And for that reason, you know, most of the prayer that's been done, I think, has been Henrietta and I. that have prayed for those things. But we're doing this teaching to develop our fruitfulness. Isn't that right? Isn't that what all of our teaching's about? To develop us, to cause us to grow up. I believe God wants us to grow up fast. You believe that? You may say, well, man, I've been around here, I've been around like Bob and I have. We've been around here nearly 65 years. You know, how much more growing can we do? I plan to grow a lot yet. I've got a lot of growing to do. I haven't grown up into Him yet. And that's what the Bible says. Grow up into Him who is the head of all things. I've got a lot of growing to do. But what we're doing here is doing the line upon line, precept upon preaching to develop our fruitfulness and effectiveness spiritually and materially. Spiritually and in the natural realm, right? We want to be fruitful in every way. So we talked to you last about prosperity. And I believe it's biblical prosperity. I don't believe it has anything to do with being prosperous in a world way of doing things. We're not paying attention to what the world says, are we? Well, believe it or not, everything is tied together here with what we're doing. What we're doing downstairs right now is very integrally tied to what we're going to do right up here right now. It had a great deal to do with the prosperity teaching that we just finished, that series, 16 messages. And if you don't have all of them, you ought to get all of them and go back over them and listen to them, because we're going to change. We're going to become a rich church. Would you mind it if somebody said, oh, that's that rich church? You'd say, say it more, say it more. Call us rich all the time. That's all right. We want to be a rich church, but we don't want to be known as a rich church who hoards. We want to be known as a rich church who gives. Amen? That's how we'll be known as rich, is because we give. Because our God is a rich God and He gives, doesn't He? He gives. He gives to us. So we want our prayer meetings to become something different. And if you remember last week, we started in Isaiah 56. And we're just going to look at verse 7 this week. If you've got that up, it says, even them. This is talking about Gentiles and people who are outside the house of faith. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Beit Tefillah. House of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted on my altar, for mine house shall be called what? A house of prayer for all people. We said that the house, God's house, and you remember Yeshua had things to say about that, didn't he? He went and tipped over the tables of the people that had turned the temple into a bazaar. They had turned the temple into a marketplace. And he tipped over the tables and said, this is not right. The zeal of my house has consumed me, he said. And he said, my house shall be called, what? He's quoting this verse. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. A house of prayer. Well, nowadays we know that the temple is no longer in a stone building, right? The temple is in our hearts. So how much more would this house be called a house of prayer? Have you got that? This house, your house, the place where you live. You say, oh, I leave praying to preachers. I leave praying to the intercessors. I leave praying to this one or that. No. No, Grandma was a great prayer warrior, but that didn't let you off the hook. You got to pray. You're a house of prayer. And here's the problem with it. We've got such a warped idea about what prayer is that none of us really want to get called into that ministry. We've got ourselves into a place where we feel like if we do that, we're going to be stuck. You know, we're going to be in this time of drug. And I hear people talk about it all the time, even intercessors. Some of them I hear talking about it, and I think, man, I don't want that ministry. Well, I don't want it the way they got it. I don't want what they've received. But you see, a lot of what we've been doing with prayer is religious. It's ritual. And because it's ritual, there's no life in it. Didn't you notice that everything we become ritualistic about loses its life? Have you ever noticed that? Everything that we get religious about loses its life. Well, listen to what God said. Listen to how He spoke about it in Exodus 25:21. He says, thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. That's the tablets. Verse 22, and there I will what? I will what?
Meet.
I will meet. Do you ever think about your times with God as meeting with Him? We talk about prayer meetings, but I, you know, somehow in my mind, prayer meetings is meeting with a bunch of people. But really, God says, I'll meet with you. I'll meet with you. Who was able to go in and do this? The high priest only, once a year, was able to go in, and there God could commune, meet with them, once a year. But now something's different has gone on, hadn't it? He says, I will meet with thee, and I will what? Commune. I mentioned last week that I quit using the word communion to describe the Lord's Supper because of the religious connotation that goes with it. Not that I'm necessarily right about it. It was just, it had a suggestion to me of something that was religious where somebody handed you an element and said, here, take this. We need to do this every quarter. We need to do this the first Sunday of every month. We need to do this. This is communion. And so I quit using it. And we start talking about the Lord's Supper, which is really what it is. But commune is a good word, and I don't want it to be robbed from us. So we're going to take the religion out of communion. Amen? We're going to take religious connotation out of communion, and we're going to start using it in a positive sense. Because God says, I will commune with thee. Anybody know the Hebrew word? Remember it from last week? I'll do what with you? Commune. What? Well, that's part of it. But there is a specific word that's used for commune. Davar. Davar. What's davar? Huh? Word. Speak. Davar. I will speak with you. I will speak with you. Say speak. Who's going to speak with us? Do you think about prayer meetings that way? Most people don't think about prayer times as God speaking with them. What are most prayers? Lists of things that we talk to God about. Is prayer talking to God? Yes. But that should be a small part of it. Maybe the smaller part. You know, the same God that says He's going to speak with us told us to be slow to speak. Quick to what? Hear. Listen. Shema. Quick to listen. Maybe that's part of what our prayer problems come from, because you know what? When I have to depend on me to get the words out for a prayer time, I run out pretty quick, do you? I run out. I don't know what to say. But what would happen if we go into that Holy of Holies? Where is that? It's in the midst of us, isn't it? Did you know, literally, it may not be wrong. We used to say, why do people bow their head when they pray? Well, it's probably more correct than looking up toward heaven. Because where is the Holy Spirit? Where is He, Bob? He's here. And so maybe, you know, if we really had the right attitude, bowing our head wouldn't be a religious posture. It would simply be looking to the inside. And what did we say that the key to this whole thing is? Communion. There will I commune with you. There will I talk with you. There will I speak with you. From above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. In other words, this is where our marching orders come from. It's from a time of prayer. Well, I read the Word and I got this out of the Word and I did it. Well, how did that actually happen? Well, that's part of prayer, if we just realize it. When we read the Word and the Word is revealed to us, that's part of prayer. We don't generally call that prayer. We'll get all excited and say, I heard from God. I heard from God. God spoke to me. But that's prayer. God speaking to you is prayer. Say that with me. God speaking to me is prayer. You just start to get a little bit at a time on this and you'll begin to think about it. Prayer is communion with God. It's not talking to God. That's just part of it. It's listening to God. It's hearing God, hearing what He says. That word devar means to speak. The word that's used in the New Testament is koinonia for that. And that word is, koinonia means fellowship. Say fellowship. Fellowship. It means common union. We're having a common come together. Common union. To communicate. To partake. To participate. In Psalm 37:4, the scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord. Doesn't it? Delight. Say delight. Now, what does delight look like? Delight doesn't look like this. Delight yourself in the Lord. Does it? Delight. When you're delighted about something, it shows on your face, doesn't it? Delight yourself in Yahweh. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What is the action of the desires of your heart being made known called? Prayer. Isn't that right? Desire. Desire. Whatever you desire, that's part of prayer, isn't it? Your desires. In Psalm 1:2, was it Bob or Dan that talked about Psalm 1:2? Dan, I believe, is talking about it. The first Psalm. But His delight, the second verse says, His delight. His delight is in. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Wow. Can you imagine what it is to have this word given to us that's right from God? God speaking to me. God talking to me. This is His Torah, His teaching and instruction to me. I'm delighted about it. We don't always act delighted, do we? Because that's the second least attended meeting, is the Bible study. We like preaching, we like teaching, we like entertainment, don't we? Midrash doesn't always catch a lot of people when people come together to really study the Word of God. We got other things to do. We can't be at the church all the time, you know. But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His Torah doth He meditate. Meditate. That Hebrew word is hagah. 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 Uva Torato. Remember? Uva Torato Yageh, which is from the word Hagah. Yomam Valaila. And in His law doth He meditate. What is meditation when you meditate? What is another word for meditate?
Being still.
Being what? Still. Still, right? And yet, the Hebrew word for meditate means to mutter. It means to mutter. Mutter. Do you ever mutter? Henrietta mutters to me a lot of the time. I can't hear what she's saying. She's muttering so low. I'll say, speak up, I can't hear you. But you know one thing good about God? You can mutter to Him and He hears you. But here's the thing I want you to see about Hagah. Meditation is its prayer, isn't it? It's muttering what to God? What are you muttering? When I mutter His law, what am I muttering? I'm muttering, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm muttering, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new in me. I am muttering things like, I am more than a conqueror through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. I mutter things like that. If you hear me walking around the lake, I'm muttering pretty loud sometimes. I'm muttering. Henrietta and I go around the lake muttering God's Word and muttering the promises of God. Muttering His law. And how much do we do that? Yomam v'layla. All the time. Day and night. Is there anything besides day and night? Well, you could probably split up dusk and stuff like that. But really, we're talking day and night. Yomam v'layla, day and night. Meditate. Meditate. And I'm delighted while I'm doing it. Did you say delighted, Pastor? Yeah, I'm delighted. I'm delighting in the Lord. I'm delighting in His Word. Psalm 104:33 says, I will sing unto the Lord. What do you suppose singing unto the Lord might also be called? What? Psalms. And what?
Muttering
and prayer. It's prayer. Isn't it? When you sing to the Lord, is it different than just praying to God? No, it's just a different form of prayer. When I sing to the Lord, what might I sing to Him? I worship You, O God, in this temple. I worship You in spirit and truth. What am I doing? I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. He's a much nicer critic than you are. I'm talking to Him. I might sing, I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice. I sing like that to Him. And what do we call that? Well, we call that song service. No, that's prayer. Are you listening to me? When you get together and you sing in the car, I whistle to the Lord sometimes. You don't have to. I do it, though. I get to whistle, and but the words are going over in my mind as I'm doing it. It's part of what we're teaching downstairs about our confession. Keeping the Word of God on our lips. God told Joshua, what did He tell him? Joshua 1:8. I can't think how to start it. Put it up there for me, Andrew. Joshua 1:8. I know you don't have it. You'll have to look for it. You're going to have to hunt for it. I didn't get it on already. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall do what? Meditate therein day and night. Meditate. What did we say meditate was? Yeah, haggah. Muttering. Speaking about it. Thinking about it. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. You want to become a doer of the Word? Meditate the Word. Talk it. Speak it. You want to be a doer of the Word? Start out with saying what it says about you. It says you'll observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall you make your way what? Prosperous. And then you shall have good success. Good success. So what are we doing? We're delighting ourselves in the Lord. Psalm 104:33 again says, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. So when I'm 122 or 123 years old, if I make it that long, and I'm shooting for 120, and I figure I may just overshoot. Amen? Just go right on by. I'll be moving so fast by the time I get to be 120. If the Lord is not back here, I expect to be living then, see? And you're going to hear me singing. And you're going to say, yeah, but you'll sound like this. No, I'm not. I'm going to have a voice just like I got now. Amen. It'll get prettier as I get older. I have more time to train it. Praise God. And so I'm going to sing to Him as long as I live, and I'll sing praise to my God while I have my being. What does that mean? While I'm still in this body. Listen to the next verse. My meditation. Now this is a little different word than the haggah. This is siach or siach. And it talks about actual prayer. One of the ways this word is used is prayer. My meditation, my prayer, my talk of Him shall be sweet. Say sweet. Suppose that has any relationship to delight? Isn't sweet and delightful sound kind of similar? I will be what? Glad. Now what does glad look like? If anybody's glad here, show me. Oh, yeah, you're looking glad. That's a smile offering. Amen? Praise God. I'm glad in the Lord. I'll be glad in Him. Remember what it said in Isaiah 56:7 where we started out? He said, I'll make them joyful in my house of prayer. How many of you think about joy in prayer meeting? Most of the time, that's not what we think. Although, some people have gotten the revelation of this. What I'm teaching today, I'm not saying that nobody else has it. I'm just saying it hasn't been the generally taught precepts about prayer. I'm going to teach you more about confession as we go through this. I want to teach you more about rehearsing the covenant. We've got a covenant with God. Did you know that? And I'll tell you what, if you don't get joyful thinking of what this covenant has for you, then you're just not paying attention. I could have been a lot meaner there and said something about stupid, but I'm not going to say that. You're just not paying attention. You're just not paying attention if you can't get joyful about the things that are in the covenant. And God has given us His name compounded with His covenant rites so that we can remember Him and praise Him. In fact, I believe it's a part of hallowing. Isn't that what Yeshua said, pray? Holy is your name. Kadosh. Part of hallowing His name is remembering them, repeating them, speaking them. They're Scripture. They're in the Word of God. My meditation will be sweet, and God's going to make me joyful in His house of prayer. I'm going to be joyful. I've already got a different attitude about prayer than I did have. I'm joyful in my house of prayer. You say, yeah, but I've got heavy things to talk about. Yes, but I know I'm coming to the one that can take care of the heavy things. Amen? And so I can be joyful when I come, can't I? In fact, to be joyful means I expect good. Is anybody here praying for bad things to happen? Could I see the hands of those that pray for bad things? Well, if you don't, then you're always believing for good things. And it should be something that makes you joyful because we know that He hears us when we pray. And we know that He supplies and that He provides and that He's available to us all the time. Amen? You know, I get so disgusted about everything that it seems like I need in the natural. It always comes up when people's offices are closed. Do you ever have trouble with that? I'm getting ready to order something. I think, man, I need to get this. I need to have it right now. And I'll look, and it's already what I'm going to call New York, for instance. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They're closed. I can't get them. And it's usually Friday afternoon. Right? You know, I even call to God on Shabbat sometimes. Amen? You won't get anybody in New York on Shabbat. Right? Whether they're Gentile or not. I call to Him because He's there. He's the original 24/7 innovator, isn't He? He's the one that came up with this. He's never sleeps. He's always available. So we know that we're supposed to have fellowship when we pray. And we said, what does fellowship look like? What does this communion with God look like? If I want to see it, what would it look like? And last week, Jeff said it would look like Adam in the Garden of Eden before the fall. And isn't that right? Because the Bible says about Adam in the Garden of Eden, it says when he sinned, he went and hid from God, and God came to talk to him as he had been doing before when he came in the, remember it says in the what? In the cool of the day. In the cool of the day. And I, you know, I've always just taken that for granted that meant he came in the cool of the day. Well, you know, if we knew much about the way the Garden of Eden was, they weren't concerned about air conditioning there. It was just right. Can you say just right? That's what it was. It was just right. Everything was just right. And so when God came to talk to him, it really doesn't say cool. In fact, I wonder where they got the word cool. The word is the ruach. The ruach of the day. What's the ruach? The ruach is the spirit or the breath or the breeze, wind of the day. And so God was coming and His Spirit was communing with them as they walked in the garden. That's what it would look like. And what would it have been? Shalom. The Garden of Eden was the picture of shalom. Perfect. Perfect. What could you want in the Garden of Eden? Nothing. And we won't go through how the covetousness came in. Even there, because there was sin in the world, wasn't there? There was sin in the serpent, and the serpent was able to deceive them. But fellowship would look like Adam and Eve in the ruach of the day, walking with God, hand in hand. What do you suppose he talked with them about? Well, I know one thing. It's put, Adam, what are you going to call that animal over there? You mean that spotted one with the long neck? Yeah. Giraffe? You ever realize that Adam was not a caveman? Did you ever realize that? He wasn't some hirsute, hairy looking creature. He was perfect. He was, in fact, he may have looked a lot like Yeshua. I don't know this, but I'm just, you know, it's possible. But he was perfect. Perfect. No defilement whatsoever. That means his brain had a chance to develop perfectly, didn't it? You know, that was a big responsibility. That's what he looked like. But the fall came. And we say, well, it's all lost. And yet, reading a few chapters on, we find out that Enoch, say Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Isn't that what the scripture says? And Enoch walked with God. And Enoch was not, for God took him. It still looked just like what Adam looked like, didn't it? I'm sure that Enoch had heard great, 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 great grandpa Adam. And don't count the greats and say I had it right, because I'm just guessing. But he had heard him talk about how it used to be in the garden when they talked with God. Yeah, see, Enoch would have been born after, while Adam was still alive. Adam lived to be 950 years old. But he had heard these stories, and he said, I want to do that. And he began to seek the face of the Lord, and he began to seek God's face, and he began to walk with him in the Ruach. And we see this is what that looks like. Do you want to have that kind of relationship? I'll risk it. God can take me anytime He wants to. Amen? I'll risk it. What we get about prayer, are you willing to put into practice? What God reveals to us here about prayer, are you willing to start making some changes in your life to let this come to pass in your life? Wouldn't it be something to find out that prayer was not some heavy thing that you have to do? See, that's the way we get everything. Do I have to do that? Do I have to speak in tongues, Pastor? Oh, my goodness. Let's see. How is it? You get a birthday gift, you say, do I have to open this? Is it necessary for me to open it? I mean, that's the same kind of thought, isn't it? I get to speak in tongues. I get to open my mouth and utter things that the devil can't even understand. Why would I not want to? Why would I ever say, do I have to? Why would I ever quote scriptures that say, do all speak with tongues? And try to get out of it by quoting that, when actually that scripture was quoted not for every believer, but for believers in assembly. Does everybody speak in tongues in the assembly? No! That's what that was about. It was not asking, do I have to speak in tongues? Or do all speak with tongues in general? It was asking, in the church, during a meeting, do all speak with tongues? I hope not. And yet that's the way we look at things. And see, speaking in tongues is a part of prayer. That's what the Bible says. When I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth and my understanding is unfruitful. It's a part of prayer. We'll go into that deeper. We're not going to go into it deeper today, but we will go into it deeper. But think about it. Enoch walked with God. He had a relationship. That's what it looks like. How about Abram? We call him Father Abraham. Avinu Avraham. Did he walk with God? God, we just read, if you read the parashah for this week, what was it about? It was called Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is the parashah. What does that mean? It means, and go yourself. Or, I read a little article that some people at Simchat Torah had put out. It says that literally it means to go forth within yourself. Are you listening to me? To go forth within yourself. God spoke to Abram, and he said, Abram, go forth within yourself. Go forth. Here's the rest of their quote. To go forth within yourself, to go forth in the Torah, is a depiction of moving toward your ultimate purpose. How many of you think God might talk to you for that same reason? Listen to me. Do you believe that God would talk to you and say, go forward towards your ultimate purpose? That's why I'm talking to you. Because I want you to go forward, move toward your ultimate purpose. In other words, your name, your nature, and your life are now going forth to serve God's purpose. Or, how do we get that? How did Abraham hear God? Well, I guess he probably just minding his own business one day and all of a sudden God knocked on his door. I don't believe that. He was just doing his stuff. He was out worshiping the moon god and doing all this stuff, and God just suddenly... No, I don't believe that. I believe that Abram had gotten some kind of light that there's one true God. And Abram began to seek Him. He began to say, who are you, God? Who are you, the real God? You know, I have this remembrance that Adam said, and that you made the heaven and the earth. This story that came out of the garden, there must be one true God. And he began to look. And as he sought for Him, then God began to reveal Himself to him. And how did He do it? Still small voice inside. He said, Avram, I want you to go forth within yourself. What was it like? That's what prayer's like. That's the prayer we're talking about. That's what it ought to look like. We know that we are to pray, according to Scripture, to Abba. Right? Who do you pray to? The Father. Abba, B'Shem Yeshua. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We've got Scripture for that. The Scripture says, literally, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father. Pray to your Father, which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Talking more about praying to the Father, in John 16:23, Yeshua said, in that day you shall ask Me nothing. He's telling His disciples when they're walking with Him. In that day, you won't ask Me anything. You'll ask Me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it to you. So how do we pray? To the Father in the name of Jesus. What does it mean to pray in the name of someone? Tammy, if you tell Brianne to go and get something from Keith, and she goes up and she says, Dad, Mom said that she needs this. What has just happened? She has prayed or asked in your name, hadn't she? And that's exactly the same way it is with us. The Father has related things to us in the Scripture. Yeshua has taught us things in the Scripture. And we go to the Father and say, Jesus said that I'm to come to you for this. How are we doing it? We're coming in His name. In His authority. By the authority of. We're not coming in and of ourselves, but we're coming in His name. But listen to what He said in verse 24 of the 16th chapter of John. He says, hitherto, or up to this point, you have asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive that your what? Does that sound like delight? Does that sound like a sweet meditation? Does that sound like a happy time? It does to me. Now, people ask, well, I like to pray to Jesus. Well, the Bible says, I didn't make this up, you know. You can read this all the way through. The Bible says, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Pray to Abba in the name of Yeshua. Right? Is it all right to talk to Jesus? I think so. I think it's all right. I tell Him I love Him all the time. Yeshua, ani ohev ocha. Isn't that the song that we're going to learn one of these days? Yeshua, ani ohev otcha. Jesus, I love you. Is that all right? Well, I believe it is. There's no place in the Bible that says, don't talk to Jesus. It says when you pray, while you're asking, you're exercising authority, it's in My name. So we come to the Father in Jesus' name. I talk to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. You're welcome here. Amen. I tell Him that. I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. But technically, from Scripture, when you pray, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. It'll help your prayers if you practice it the way the Word of God says it. Amen? It really will. Listen to this. James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. How do we practice this in times? What does afflicted mean, by the way? Sick or under pressure. Afflicted. If is any afflicted, let him pray. How do we practice it nowadays? How is it practiced in religious circles? Is any sick? Is any afflicted? Yeah. Hey, we call everybody we can find to see if they'll pray for us. Is it wrong to have people pray for you? No. But here's the problem. And I have people do this to me, so I know about it. There are people that call me and say, pray for me. And I say, are you praying for yourself? Well, I know your prayers mean more. No, they don't. Your prayers get answered? No. My prayers don't get answered better than your prayers do. It says, if you're afflicted, you pray. That's the way I read it. If you're afflicted, you pray. Are you merry? You sing. Don't come ask me to sing for you. Amen? You sing. Is any sick? And this goes into a different realm. Is any sick and can't get well? Because we've already talked about afflicted, he's supposed to pray. But is any sick and not getting well? Let him what? Let him call. You know there are people that get all bent out of shape because somebody doesn't just know they were sick. You didn't ever come and visit me. You didn't ever call. You're supposed to call. If you're sick and you're not getting well and you're not getting the job done just by your prayer, call me. Call Bob. Call the elders. We'll come. We'll pray over you and we'll anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith. We talked about this last week. That's the only kind of prayer there is. Amen? If it's, well, it's the only kind of scriptural prayer there is. Are there other prayers? Yes. Do people pray prayers that are not of faith? Yes. Do some of them get answered? Not by God, but they get answered. And some of them even get answered by God. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. The 10 spies came back saying we can't go in. 2 spies said we can. But they got the whole of Israel praying. And they say, would God that we died in this desert. God said, as you've spoken in my ears. But that wasn't a prayer of faith, was it? We don't want to pray those kind of prayers, do we? What are they? They're prayers that are opposite the word of God. Don't pray those. Prayer of faith. Faith is where? Where does it begin? Where does your faith begin? In what? Inward, that's right. It begins inwardly when the will of God is known. When you know God's will, you can pray a prayer of faith. Amen? So how do we know God's will? By hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. So what's prayer not then? We looked at it a little bit last week, but I want to elaborate a little more. What is prayer not? Remember the Pharisee came into the temple and he prayed and he said, I thank you, God, that I'm not as other men. And we saw that all the way through his prayer, it was all about who? I. Prayer is not praying with yourself. Some people do. All they're doing is saying words and thinking it's prayer. It's all they're doing is mouthing things and thinking that they're somehow fulfilling a religious obligation. There's people that do this. That's their prayer time. Get up in the morning and they do their stuff. And some of it's taught to us as children. Go to bed at night. Now it's time to prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. Well, it's kind of cute, but you know what? It teaches kids that prayer is some kind of a rote thing, doesn't it? We want the kids to pray whatever they think in their heart. Whatever's coming out of their heart. We don't want them to get into something like that. Prayer, you know, we get into this, I prayed 2 hours. Wow. Man, I prayed 2 hours. Did you ever think about what that sounds like? I mean, number one, what are people doing? What Jesus said, don't do, that you may be seen of men. I prayed 2 hours. Are you impressed? I must be a man of God if I could pray 2 hours. How many of you have ever tried to time yourself in prayer? And don't lie to me now. Be honest. How many of you have ever tried to... We do it, don't we? Well, I want to spend 2 hours. I read Brother Hagin said he spent an hour in prayer and the devil came and said, well, you wasted an hour. He said, just for that, I'm going to pray 2 hours. He stayed 2 hours in prayer and the devil said, now you've really wasted. You've wasted 3 hours. And so Brother Hagin said, just for that, I'm going to pray 6 hours. But he said, before I got into it another hour, he said, the presence of God engulfed me. And he said, from then on, I didn't know how long I was praying. Think about it. Think about it. Have you ever done it? Well, yeah. There was a teaching out. Could you not pray, tarry with me 1 hour? Is it a good teaching? Yeah, I think it is. But the problem is, it starts putting something on duration. Praying for a certain amount of time. Praying. I spent my time, boy. I prayed. Amen. 1 hour every day. I get up 5 o'clock every morning. That's prayer time. That's what I do. Boy, that's me. That's the way I do it. Well, what's that about? That's about me. And what's my focus? Prayer. You say, could it be bad to have a focus on prayer? Yes. Who is the focus with? What is prayer? Communion with God. Can you imagine a young man got a new girlfriend? Come home and say, I just want you to know, I spent an hour talking to Sally. You say, so? I'd like to have spent 2 hours talking to Sally, right? And yet with God, we want to set it up. Well, I spent 2 hours. I spent three. I woke up in the middle of the night. I couldn't go back to sleep. I didn't know what else to do, so I got up and prayed. You see what we're doing? The focus is on us and the focus is on prayer. I really believe as long as we've got this idea that I'm praying, we're not going to have the attitude, hi, Father, I'm here. I'm here to see you. And I really want to know what you have to say today. I want to know what you have to say to me because I'm just delighted to be with you. And I don't know, I don't have anything that's more important than you. And so you just talk as long as you want to and I'll stick around. And sticking around is easy because you don't have to go anyplace to do it. Did you ever think of that? You could go right ahead and wash your dishes. I'm talking to the men now. You change your oil. I'm talking to the women. You can do whatever you do normally. You say, yeah, but I've got other people that I've got. That's all right. They only take part of your time. I'm talking about becoming aware of God. So aware of Him that we don't think about, I'm praying. Wow, I'm doing something really good. I'm praying. No, I'm with my Father and I'm delighted to be with Him and I don't even think about praying. I'm just with Him. I'm talking with Him. I'm asking Him questions here and there. Do you have to talk all the time? Of course not. If you do, you could never pray without ceasing. Do you have to listen all the time? Not exactly. You're listening, but mainly it's awareness. I used to drive down the road with my dad. My dad was a man who was a master of silence. He, unlike me, he was very still, very quiet. And we'd drive, and he used to just bug me like crazy, you know, because I didn't know what to do, you know. I'd feel, you know. But he'd drive, and he could be quiet for a long time. You know, it took me till I was probably, 40 or 45 years old that I could enjoy just being with my dad. I could just enjoy being with him. He didn't have to say anything. But when he said something, I listened because my dad was a very wise man. Well, the Father isn't just jabbering either. But I believe he'll talk to us a lot if we'll just let him. But you know, the key to it is, you got to be aware. I say be aware. And see, that puts it back into a joyful thing. I'm just aware that my God's on the inside of me. Man, I'm never alone. You know how sometimes you feel so alone that you just feel like there's no one understands? All you got to do is just stop and think about what the Word says. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you and I will be in you. I'll abide with you forever, even unto the end of the age. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it will be done unto you. What a delight. It's joy-filled. This is what we're talking about today. Joy-filled fellowship. Joy-filled fellowship. Well, sometimes I do have heavy things to ask Him. Sometimes I've got problems in my life, but I've come to the source of all things, the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. What could I ask him that he couldn't do? What could I bring up? Oh, but you know, yes, but when we ask God, he likes to say no. Some people got that attitude because, you know what? They weren't praying in faith. They weren't getting answers. And so they just had to have an excuse that God said no. Listen, if it's in the Word of God, you don't even have to be concerned about Him saying no. He can't say no. He already said yes. And God can't change. Amen? Are you getting this? This is powerful. This is power. The focus is on Yahweh and not on the fact that you're praying. Prayer is living in communion. It's not an event. We think about prayer as an event, and especially a religious event. But it's not events. It's life. It's living. Our life should be prayer. Our life's way in doing things, even if you can't hear right at the moment, I can still be aware of Him, can't I? How do I do that? I train myself. I think about it. I keep listening to the Word of God that keeps telling me about it. Prayer is living in communion with God. It's a lifestyle. Prayer itself is not to be glorified. Have you ever heard people do that? They glorify prayer. Well, I'm a prayer warrior. I'm an intercessor. Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if you're a real intercessor, you don't need to tell anybody. If you're really a prayer warrior, you're just doing your job. Amen? You'll be recognized by your fruit. Amen? By your fruit, they'll know you. Yeah, have you ever heard anybody say this? Well, I prayed for so-and-so, and I finally got him saved. I finally got him saved. I prayed. I believed them into the kingdom of God. I did it. Well, how smug. What about his grandma? She might have been praying for him. What about other people? But even if you take all the people and put them together, who got him saved? Yeshua. It was all through him. We do the same thing when we need something. Well, I saw this thing and, oh man, I tell you, I believed God for it. And boy, sure enough, I got it. I got this brand new car now. I believe this car, I believed God for. Well, where's the glory going? Who are we glorifying with that kind of talk? That's right. Prayer's not the thing to be glorified. Who's to be glorified? God. God. When you pray for your healing, I stood in faith. I wouldn't let the enemy get in. I stood. I did. Well, at the bottom line, what happened? God used the prayer that I spoke. And see, here's what we've got to understand about prayer. And there's two things written on the backboard there we'll spend some time on. They really talk about prayer is not trying to convince God, right? But prayer is actually God has put things on this earth by covenant in man's control. Did you know that? That's what he told Adam. You subdue the earth. He put it in his control. Adam committed high treason against God and gave it over to Satan. Yeshua took it back and defeated the enemy. But now, when we pray, what we're doing is granting God access with our prayers into this natural realm that He's given us authority over. And so when we pray, all we're doing is opening the door for Him to do the things. And so prayer is not about what we say and what we believed and what we stood for, but it's about opening the door with our faith for Him to come in and do what He's always done. And He does all things well. Amen? He does everything good. In Matthew 9:29, it records that Yeshua touched the blind man's eyes and said, "According to your faith be it given unto you." And so if we don't watch out, we do the same thing with faith, the prayer of faith, that my faith did this. My faith, my faith, my faith. Well, who gave these two guys the faith to do that? God did. It's according to their faith, but what that faith was given to them is a gift from God. Faith comes from, as Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Amen? Hearing and hearing and hearing. In everything that we do, let's make sure it's always for the glory of God. If you read about prayer that way, listen to what Yeshua said in John 14:13. He said, "Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." That's good news, isn't it? But listen to what he said. "That the Father may be glorified in the Son." So what's prayer about? Bringing glory to God. It's about bringing glory to God. That's not the only verse. In 2 Thessalonians 1, in verse 11 and 12, this is the way it reads. "Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the goodness, good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith and power." Well, he's praying things for someone specifically, but read what the next verse says. "That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you." So why do we want prayers answered? For the glory of God. What the Bible say? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and" what? "Glorify your Father which is in heaven." My desire today is to glorify God. How about you? I believe that prayer is supposed to be a delight. In fact, this whole series, we're going to call it Delightful Prayer. And we're going to keep it that way because I don't ever want you, again, to stop and say, "Oh, I have to pray. I'd like to do something, but I got to pray." I don't want you to say that again. I don't want you to come into this place where prayer becomes just another obligation, a religious duty. That's wrong. We should never be that way. Prayer is such a privilege. And it's a joy. And God said, "I want to make them joyful in my house of prayer." Let's stand together. Father, I know that only You can cause this to happen the way it's supposed to happen. I can talk and, I can say things, but unless the Spirit of God does His work, unless this is revealed in our hearts, unless we begin to reach in and get it and understand it and say, "You know what? There is something beside what I've seen before. There is a place to just be joyful with the Lord. Just to be glad to be with Him. Just to be going along in my daily walk. Aware of Him. God inside conscious. Yeshua on the inside. The Holy Spirit inhabiting the innermost being of me. So that out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water." Oh, Father, I'm so thankful that I can be joyful in Your house of prayer. I'm so thankful that there is a place beyond anything we've seen. And I ask You, Father, to launch us. Help us to get rid of these old religious limitations and these old attitudes that we have. We cast them down right now in the name of Yeshua. We take authority over every idle thinking, over every lying spirit that tries to put us back into bondage to prayer times and times that have to go on and putting in our time and spending so that we no longer are aware of You, but we're just aware of the fact we're praying. We cast that down right now. And we say today, beginning today, Lord, prayer is going to be a joyful time for us. And we're going to spend time doing it. We're going to spend time speaking Your word. But mostly, we're going to spend time listening for You and seeing what You say to us and how You teach us and guide us and direct us and what You show us about things to come. Because we're not going to pay attention to the things of the world, and we're especially not going to pay attention to counsel from the ungodly, but we're going to listen to You, God. We're going to receive Your word. We're going to receive Your direction because we're coming right now under the wings of the cherubim to that mercy seat in the Holy of Holies where You commune with us and talk with us. And we're going to participate. And we're going to partake. We're going to have joyful fellowship in the house of prayer in the name of Yeshua. Lift your hands up and receive the blessing today. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you. Isn't that being aware of Him? Having His face shine upon you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you shalom. Say, "I receive it."
I receive it.
In the name of Yeshua. Amen.